Notre Dame, with a historic tradition of excellence, welcomes you to the Jack Swarbrick Show, where we pursue all things Notre Dame athletics.
The Jack Swarbrick Show is brought to you by
Team Notre Dame partner Spirit, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Now, the host of the Jack Swarbrick Show, Jack Nolan, on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.
Welcome, Irish fans, to this week's edition of the Joe Schmidt and Jack Swarbrick Show. On today's show, we'll talk with a man who is beginning his 16th season as the head men's basketball coach at Notre Dame, Mike Bray. Coach Bray's Irish are coming off the best Notre Dame basketball season in more than 35 years, so there is a lot to talk about with Mike. But first, to start things off, here are your hosts, Notre Dame captain and starting linebacker Joe Schmidt, and Notre Dame vice president and director of athletics, Jack Swarbrick.
Captain Schmidt, good to be with you, man.
Ms. Swarbrick, what's going on?
7-1. It's a good place to be at the 8-game mark.
It is. It's still the 8-game mark. I think that's something that we need to make sure we remember. But it's exactly where we want to be right now, looking into the last 4 games here of the season. With a big game coming up this weekend at Pittsburgh, and we're looking forward to it. We're excited.
Another game you had in the bag the entire way.
Seriously.
No drama.
There's been no questions that Showtime's scripting our games, but
I want to thank you for holding the TV audience. The ratings are great. it helps the business model to be able to say, look at these ratings.
I know. I think we go into games obviously thinking about the ratings. So we're like, how can we do this, entertain the fans for longer? But hats off to a great Temple team. They were extraordinarily well coached, and they really cared about that game. And I know that me saying they really cared sounds like, people would ask me, is that a difference? But you'd be surprised as to week in, week out, you play people, and you can actually tell that there's a quantifiable difference between, the amount that people are caring. And I think it starts with, their offensive linemen, they knew all of our defensive players' first names, and they were addressing us by first names throughout the whole game. And it was, it wasn't so much trash talk, but just little conversations that were just out of the ordinary and fun. So we had a good time with it.
Asking about family and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. They knew like personal details, and you'd be at the bottom of the pile, and some guy would start asking me, "Hey Joe, like, what did you think about that play?" Like, I was just laughing. So it was a good time.
Yeah. Well, they were. They certainly were, as you said. They gave as we were prepared for, as we indicated on this show last week, a really well coached, very tough team, very physical.
Oh, yeah.
We knew we were going to play all 4 quarters.
Yeah, no, and that's, they kind of embody that toughness, that Philadelphia mindset of, hard working. So they came to play starting with the first quarter, and we knew they were a fourth quarter team. So they're a team of veterans that had been able to come into games, get them late into the game, and then win them in the fourth quarter. And so we ended up, kind of using that, using their own little, their own way of winning against them there, and come out with a victory at the end. Thank gosh for Will Fuller.
Well, I was going to say the script had some pretty similar elements for us, right? We're getting a little used to these, which is, a big late drive culminating with a pretty remarkable throw to Will. Will made a great catch, but Deshaun dropped that right in the pipe there. There was about an 18-inch window for him to hit. And then a big defensive stop with Kavari's interception.
Yeah, that offensive drive, everybody points to that last play, Will making, a great strike down the sideline from Deshaun. But really, I look at there was a third down early in that drive that Will, it was a scramble, and Will just happened to find a way to get open. And great players do stuff like that. And, Deshaun kept the play alive with his legs, found Will along the sideline for what seemed like at the time maybe, just a 7-yard gain on the way to, scoring a touchdown. But without that, it's fourth down, and we're probably punting the ball. So it was a huge play, and that's the one that I point to just to kind of show, that's Will Fuller, him being great. But defensively, it was great as well.
Another key play on that drive is something we've been seeing in practice, which is the emergence of Alise on the offensive end, and that was a huge play in that drive.
I know. He ran a corner route, and I feel like they just didn't cover him. I don't know if it was something our coaches had identified in scheme. But I remember looking up on the – because I couldn't quite see Alizé's route, you know, over the our sideline. Obviously, I'm not the tallest guy in stature. So I'm looking at the wonderful video board that we're about to have here at Notre Dame. And Alizé's streaking, you know, through the middle of the field unmarked. So it was a great play for Alizé. I felt good, you know, that, you know, he's wanted to do something to help contribute to the team. And that was a huge play for us. So.
Yeah, no, it absolutely was. And the other play that, you know, I think sort of stuck out for me in the game was a reminder. We know it, but it's sort of a reminder and maybe a first introduction for the rest of the country that big quarterback can run.
Yeah.
when those DBs were trying to catch Deshaun on that play, they weren't gaining any distance.
No, I actually think – the big guy pulled away. He was rumbling, stumbling, bumbling. That was oh my gosh. I mean, I went up to Deshaun after and I was like, "What's your 40 time?" Because I swear I thought Deshaun ran like a 5.9. You know, he looks like he wouldn't be the fastest guy, but when he actually gets into the open field, he can really move. And he pulled away from a safety and a cornerback that are playing Division I football, and then of course hit him with the. With the fly goes fly, which we had to give him a lot of grief for, and hopefully he never does again. But you know, I think after getting a 79-yard run, we can forgive him for one little mistake there at the end.
Yeah, and I'm glad the sort of origin of that little gesture got explained.
His
long time passion for the Philadelphia Eagles, not the Temple Owls.
Yeah, no, we all knew it because when we got to the link. The day before for our little check out the stadium, see where you're getting taped. We do that on Friday nights. Deshaun, we weren't supposed to go onto the grass. There was a guy there that was – this was his grass, and if you went on his grass, we were getting in trouble. And Deshaun had a brand-new Eagles hat that he must have just gotten from, you know, for the trip. And Deshaun, you know, waits till the guy turns around, runs out into the end zone, puts his hat on and has like a little eagle pose and takes the picture and runs back. So needless to say, we got a little trouble with the grass guy. But Deshaun is a huge Eagles fan.
Well, I must say, I feel a little bad because the QBs came up to me in practice about a week ago and Deshaun said, so which of us do you think is the fastest? And, of course,
obviously,
I was saying, well, you know, I'm pretty impressed with Brandon's speed.
I think he won, like, wasn't he like the state champion or?
Well, and Deshaun was hurt by that. So I think now I'm feeling bad when I saw his in-game speed. But that was great.
In-game speed. That's what we'll call it. In-game speed.
That's right. Well, we go back to Pennsylvania this week.
Right.
Another really tough opponent. But one of the things that's pretty unusual, and it'd be interesting to go back and look over your entire time with us, how often we played a noon game.
Yeah, no, hardly ever.
It didn't happen much.
No.
So we're doing some things differently in light of that, right?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the great parts about, you know, being at Notre Dame is having the ability to change our schedule, you know, closer to the game. And so we were able to switch our departure from a normal Friday departure to Thursday to kind of get our clocks, our personal clocks set to that noontime kickoff. And so we're practicing tonight. We're getting out of here. We're getting to Pittsburgh Thursday night. We're going to wake up and do all of game day on Friday. So we're going to, you know, a whole mock game day. We're going to do our game pregame meal. All the kind of meetings we do normally before a game, and then kick off practice at 12 o'clock. And normally our Friday, it's going to be a little bit of a different Friday practice. And I think that's great. You know, Coach Kelly's so good about understanding how best to you know, fine tune the team and to make sure that we're at our best when we really need to be at 12. So, and really, I think the last time we played a noon kick was the last time we were at Pitt, in 2011. And I was actually there and we did start slow. And that was a slugfest until the very end. So I think Coach is just trying to make sure we don't start slow and he does everything he possibly can to help us get on our way there.
Yeah. You know, I think our listeners and viewers understand this, but the reason for that dynamic is television loves to move us to the evening games
right.
for a larger audience. And so we generally on road games don't know until 12 days out. We have no idea what time it is. We got the whole schedule planned. We were planning for it least 3:30, maybe you can start. We get noon. So our earlier guest from earlier in the year, Chad Clunder, has a few things to do. He's got to see if he can change the charter plane. He's got to see if the hotel can take us a day earlier. I was watching this mad scramble he was going through to try and see if he could make all the logistics work on less than a week's notice at the end of the day, and he's been able to make it happen.
Yeah, no, we really do have a great team over there, and I think, you know, I don't think Chad's alone. I know Chad's working with a bunch of great people, yourself included. And really, you know, the best part about this, though, is that it creates extra work for Chad.
Absolutely.
And we absolutely love that over at the Goog. If there's any extra work we can create for Mr. Clunder, it's a win for us.
Well, we did it this week, that's for sure.
Yeah, we did.
Now, back to the same state, and in some ways back to a similar challenge, a very physical football team, great defense. They're going to try and keep the ball away from you. Possession game, you know, they wanted to come down to a few possessions, and so it's going to be a game a lot like last week.
Oh yeah, and we're familiar with, you know, this coaching staff. We know their head strength coach. He was just here, Dave Andrews, and we know Coach Narduzzi from his time at Michigan State. So we know the kind of play game that they want to play at Pittsburgh. And then if you turn on the tape, it's easy to see right from the start that they're a smash mouth football team. They love running the football. They've got a lot of good playmakers on the outside. They got one of the best receivers in the nation. And really, they do a great job on both sides of the ball, just executing a clean football game. So we have our work cut out for us, and we're really looking forward to playing, one of those, you know, big boy pads, you know, a lot of haymakers throwing from the hip kind of games against a great Pittsburgh team. It's going to be a great time.
Well, I know you were interviewed during the week, and you reflected a view that's just sort of core to the way we approach it. It is one game at a time. We're not looking any further than Pittsburgh, but still a nice sort of recognition of the season to date when the initial CFP rankings came out this week.
Yeah, I think the hard part for, you know, maybe a younger team would be to get lost in that, but really I think as a veteran team, we've been around for so long and we've kind of been in this position. Last year we were 7-1 as well, and I think we were right in that conversation. I don't remember where. But you know, really, it doesn't matter at all until you're done with the season and you're ready to go into hopefully into that environment. And so right now we're focusing on Pittsburgh. We got to play a great team and continue to keep ourselves where we want to be and propel ourselves forward.
Well, I think it'll be a great weekend. I'm glad we're able to logistically get there in a time to get our body clocks right, and we'll see what happens. Let's take a break and come back with the best basketball coach in America. What do you say?
Amen. Let's do it.
Irish fans, make sure you download the official WatchND mobile app available on iOS and Android devices. The WatchND mobile app is the best way to experience great Fighting Irish digital media, video, and audio content right on your tablet or smartphone. You'll get full access to our entire video on demand library, live game and event broadcasts, live shows and press conferences, live game stats, and more. And best of all, it's free. Search for WatchND in the iTunes Store or Android Play to download the WatchND mobile app today.
The Fighting Irish play here. 89 WLS.
Our guest this week guided the Notre Dame men's basketball team to an achievement last season some thought was not possible. Last March, his Fighting Irish beat Miami, Duke, and North Carolina on consecutive nights in Greensboro to win the ACC championship. But the 2014-15 season is just the latest milestone year for a man who has been taking the Notre Dame basketball program to new heights since leading his first team to the school's first appearance in the NCAA tournament in 11 years during his first season as Notre Dame's head coach back in 2001. Since then, Coach Bray has won 332 games as Notre Dame's head coach, while also leading the Irish to 14 postseason appearances, including 10 trips to the NCAA tournament. Coach Bray has also won 3 Conference Coach of the Year awards and has been named National Coach of the Year on 2 occasions. But he is most proud that at least one of his players has earned all conference honors in every one of his years as Notre Dame's head coach. With the start of the regular season on the horizon, Coach Bray joins Jack and Joe as our only guest this week.
Coach, it is great to have you here. Thank you. You know, I'm at an age where I can't retain a thought, which is a sort of a problem. but before I went to bed last night, I said, I'm going to put my ring on for the show. Nolan's got his on, the ACC ring, and I didn't wear
didn't
it. I'm killing myself here.
He's not wearing his.
I didn't have mine.
Okay. You know, yeah, okay,
now I've rotated into recruiting situations. It goes on quick, Joe.
Exactly.
I put that baby on quick.
when you're visiting Flashing modern day, it,
yeah, absolutely.
You got to have it on.
Flashing it in front of Gary McKnight.
Oh, there you go. He's got a lot of those rings as well, I think.
Well, a ring is a byproduct of that great season, but so is a target that now goes on your back.
Yeah.
Your fellow coaches helped you out there by saying, boy, this team looks like one of the top four teams in the ACC this year. Anything different about the approach when you carry that sort of target going into a season?
You know, it's interesting, Jack, to watch this group since, Jaron and Pat left. They have been so focused because there's pressure and expectations on them. You know, can they do it again without those two guys? That I think my biggest job may be trying to keep them loose. They're their own worst critics. They want it really bad. It's a great atmosphere to teach and coach in starting last offseason through the summer through our preseason. But I do think I'm going to have to loosen them up a little bit at times because you're right, they are coming after us. I thought it was a great endorsement to be picked fourth. I saw us maybe as high as fifth when I was thinking it through. But, you know, when you look what we have coming back, 5-6 guys that were part of a championship, you know, we're still pretty old. You know, we start a senior, 3 juniors, and a sophomore. So I think we got a shot. I think the league is deeper than it's ever been before now in our third season.
So you talked about Jaron and Pat there a little bit, you know, early. How do you build a little bit on, you know, obviously they were cornerstones of your program for so long. How do you build on their, you know, their departure and get even better in this next season?
I think the biggest thing you're concerned about replacing, and they were unbelievable basketball players or they wouldn't be making a nice living in the NBA, but right. The leadership that they provided, the tone that they set on a daily basis was and still is my biggest concern. I'll say this, though. I never thought of Zach August when I coached him as a freshman or sophomore would be voted as a captain. And he has, and he's really done a heck of a job. He's grown, and he's grown up. Demetrius Jackson is the voice and has kind of said, I'm going to take hold of this group now. And I'm very pleased with what he's done. And even Austin Burgett, a young man who's not had a great playing career, but has always upheld the standards of our program and has helped the young guys. Steve Astori a little bit as a voice there. Beecham is a junior. Colson is a sophomore. I've been pleased with the voices we get. You know, it's interesting, and you probably rotate into this in football, Joe, is they love Grant and Connaughton, but they also want to say, hey, we're pretty good without these guys. You know, it's not right. The end of the world.
Right.
One of the things that I have found interesting at being able to attend some of the practices thus far is sometimes the blue team is getting it done out there against the white team. These are ultra competitive practices, and you're moving guys back and forth between those two teams. The depth is really pretty interesting.
It's created an amazing practice atmosphere. I can't remember the last time in my tenure here, we've had that kind of intensity. And as speaking of the blue team, they thumped the white team yesterday, the first half of practice, and then the white came back. It is a great practice atmosphere, being able to go back and forth. And as you said, I'm still experimenting, rotating guys over. The other night in our first exhibition, we'll put 12 guys in the first half. And, you know, you're still trying to figure out the rotation. But to have that in practice every day where they can go at it and the white shirts know – if they're not ready, you know, blue's going to thump them. I think it helps us to be in a position or to create an atmosphere where we can get better all year. This team is different than last year's team at the first exhibition game. We kind of knew who we were.
Right.
Pat and Jaron running stuff, those guys. You know, this group, I think, can grow throughout, and you got to kind of have that in mind as the teacher, like to, you know, remember this is a marathon and can we grow daily.
So just so I'm prepared because I get this question all the time when I'm out on the road. You just committed to playing 12 guys every night, right?
I just played 12 in the first half. I have so
– maybe more in the second, right?
You know, our fan base is going, finally, he's playing guys.
Nah.
12's a little much. We got to shave that down by next Friday.
I'm assuming the rotation will change a little bit. For those listening, you know, maybe at home, and I'm uneducated, obviously, the blue team and the white team, is that your starters and your depth?
Yeah, white shirts are always always the starters. Our key guys in blue is kind of the second unit. And, you know, you're always moving guys from a blue shirt to a white shirt. I'm always intrigued, you know, when you move a guy from a blue shirt to a white shirt, you know, can he still do it? It's amazing when you're in a blue shirt, you don't have as many eyes on you. You're loose. You're making shots.
Stress.
I put guys in a white shirt and they drop the ball or they miss a shot. And I'm saying, come on now. I mean, I need you to do that over here with these guys. But that's an interesting thing to evaluate. I'll tell you the one guy when he comes from a blue shirt to a white shirt, there's no change right now is Matt Farrell. And he's really played well for us early. He needed to have a big summer. He did. I'm excited about kind of what he's given us right now.
Wow. So we also talked a little bit about our first exhibition game. I wasn't able to watch. I was upset about it. I followed it on social media. The 12 guys, what exactly did you see in that game? And maybe, you know, the young guys came in. I don't know. What exactly did you see?
Joe, I don't want you watching anything till after the Final Four of football. Right, okay. Don't worry. Don't worry
okay.
about us. You
All
just
right.
do what you got to do.
I think I might sneak to a couple games. Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, but the We're interesting defensively. You take Jaron and Pat out of the lineup and you put Bonzi and VJ in, and now those are 2 7-foot wingspans that are on the court. I think Vastori and Jackson are two of the best defensive guards in the country. Those guys can guard anybody, and they love to guard. You got the wingspan guys. You've got Zach, who's become a more reliable defender. We get more deflections. We play a little higher and above the rim. You know, we're able to, I've liked where we are defensively. I think we're still trying to figure out with that starting lineup how we space the floor, because Bonzi's not that true stretch four man that Connaughton was or Rob Kurz was back of the day, or Abramaitis or Scott Martin, but he's kind of learning how to give us spacing. He can make a three-point shot. We don't want him hunting it like Connaughton, but he can make that. Yet you still want to have him playing around that 15-foot range because he's a good mid-range guy. He's also a good post-up guy. He's one of those crafty guys. So I think offensively we're still trying to figure that out. But when you substitute Matt Farrell for one of your two big guys, now you have 4 perimeter guys, and that floor spreads. And when that floor spreads, then Jackson can get in there more, and Vastori can get in there more. And then you get that screen roll stuff that Zach August made a living off of last year, off of a ball screen.
One of the things I love is you're kind enough to share with me sort of practice summaries and some of the statistical data. I was reading one yesterday, and it said the defensive numbers are down a little bit. In the aggregate, but part of that is because what Matt is getting done when he comes in.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, it's interesting. You know, when White plays against that blue shirt team, you've got Matt Farrell, who can really shoot the basketball. You've got Matt Ryan, who is a big-time shooter. And Rex, in the last 10 days, has kind of hit his stride as a shot maker. Burgett as the stretch four. We're hard to guard. Like the Blues stretches out, and you get a team in help and recover, and they get an open look, and Blues making that thing, as you see in the stats, at a really high clip. You know, so I'm looking and I'm watching Ryan and Farrell make shots. I'm going, you know, I want them over on these. Like, turn it white right now. You know, turn it white.
So you talk a little bit about statistics, and I know you can't obviously tell, you know, everybody what you're doing, but are you just using the regular stats that you see on, like, you know, on basketball websites everywhere, or do you have your own proprietary way of assessing a defense, or you know, what do you look for in those stats?
That's a great question, Joe. You know, we stat everything when we get into 5-on-5, and our practices are heavy in 5-on-5. You know, we do our breakdown drills, but I found, you know, coaching them out of 5-on-5, I've always said, you know, people have said about our program, God, you guys play well together. Well, you can't learn to play together unless you play together. You know, if you're doing your breakdown, right? Your defense has to play together, you know, to learn each other. So to get heavy reps playing together, transition, getting a feel of how we move off of each other. So, you know, that's one thing we really look at. We have an efficiency, you know, guys can chart out every day, so it gets really competitive. And I have a manager who's great with analytics. I try and balance that. You know, sometimes you can get blindsided by that, but it's been good, and it's been a way of really kind of evaluating. An interesting analytic, an interesting stat. We had a zone day where we were just going to play against zone and work on our zone defense Sunday and Tuesday. Both of those days, we had 14 and 13 deflections. Now you're talking about both groups are in an open stance and the wingspans are out there. In the other practices, the other 13 practices where we were 98% man-to-man, we averaged 7 deflections. So, you know, given the shot clock, less time to attack.
Right.
Given our length, given the point of emphasis of really any hand check, quick fouls, you know, rough play, do we play more zone? Do we rotate into more zone because for a lot of reasons? So yeah. I think that's something we're really trying to examine here early in the season.
We all know what the gauntlet of the conference portion of our schedule will be in playing basketball in the best basketball conference in America. Give us a little insight into the portion of the schedule before we hit conference ball.
Yeah, I think we've got, you know, we've got 3 mid-major teams coming in here that scare the heck out of me. Of course, you look last night and Thomas Aquinas beats a D2, beats St. John's by 30. You know, you just never know these days. But we have Wisconsin-Milwaukee coming in here, a really solid overtime, good mid-major program. Loyola Chicago is really trending up under a new coach. The one that scares me the most is Stony Brook, who's picked to maybe win the America East. 5 seniors. They have a frontline kid who the NBA is watching. It's just you got to be ready to go. We certainly go then to Thanksgiving down in Orlando, the Orlando Classic. We won that back in 11 with Hansborough, and it jump-started our year. But we've got Iowa and Dayton on our side of the bracket, Wichita State, Southern Cal, and Xavier on the other side. So that is a great test for us early Thanksgiving. ACC Big Ten Challenge, we're in Champaign, Illinois, against Illinois, and they'll be waiting on us over there. They're opening their building up that night. They refurbished it, and we just happen to be the first game when the Irish come to town. Funny how that works. We've got Indiana down in the crossroads, Jack. As you know, that has been such a great day of basketball, and I think this is the first time where we've had all 4 teams. They're all ranked, and they're all pretty much NCAA tournament teams, thought of that way. We play the Hoosiers again, who are really good and can spread you out and play their 4 guards and sometimes 5 guards. So I think we've got some really good challenges up before Christmas. And then we have to open at Virginia to start ACC play, and here we go.
Funny how the ACC scheduling always does favors like that. It's like being at Florida State and at Clemson in the first 2 years, right? Let's take a break, and then we'll come back with the only guest of the year who gets his own 2 segments on the Jack and Joe show, Mike Brick.
Big time.
Jonathan Brandmeier, weekday mornings at 9 on Chicago's Talk Leader, 89 WLS.
Welcome back to the Joe Schmidt and Jack Swarbrick Show. In addition to his work on the court, Coach Bray is active in numerous charities in the Michiana community, including Coaches vs. Cancer, where he has helped raise more than $2.5 million for the fight against this deadly disease. Here now is our second segment with Coach Mike Bray.
Coach, welcome back. Thanks for being here. So I'm loving the facial hair. What's going on here?
Well, you know, I think I joined a group here, the co-host. So I'm fitting right in.
Oh, you're growing facial hair?
Look. Come on, Jack. I'm trying here.
It's took 2 weeks, huh, to get that.
It's at least
been 2 months.
we're just
you know, it's not, what is it, Movember?
Yeah,
I just thought I'd change it up a little bit, change the scout report.
Well, good. You know, the intro reflected your remarkable commitment to a number of charitable endeavors, but especially what you've done with Coaches Against Cancer. Could you tell us a little bit about that work?
Yeah, that's been a neat thing. You know, I got started with it in 1995. It is now back when I was at Delaware. My dad is a cancer survivor, and that kind of motivated me when I became a head coach at Delaware. And we started it there, and it's really taken off here, as Jack Nolan said, over about close to $3 million raise, which in this community is a lot of money. And it's been interesting. You know, I have more people now, you're in this town 16 years, come up to you. They'll ask you about Demetrius Jackson, but they'll also ask you, hey, Coach, appreciate, you know, what you're doing. My father, I'm a survivor. And you know what? It's been great because it early when I got here in 2000, it got me out in the community to meet our people and meet some of our best fans. And so it's been great. We've got a lot of volunteers that do it. We do a weekend of things in early August, which is great. It's become a little bit of a reunion. My former players come back and play golf. Austin Carr was our guest last year. 2 years ago, it was David Robinson. So it's been good, and it's been really powerfully supported here in South Bend.
You know, I got a little sense of where that sort of community focus comes from, and a little bit of the coaching genes too. When I had the opportunity when your mom passed last year, to go to the memorial that honored her, really a remarkable the number of lives she touched.
Yeah.
as a coach, instructor, and educator.
No, thanks, Jack. She was. I was so fortunate to be around her and my father, two teachers, two educators. That was the dinner table talk. But she was. She was great, and they were great confidence givers as educators, and I've really tried to use many of the things I watched them do with their young people through my high school coaching career and through my college coaching career. But she was definitely an inspiration, and she was a way better athlete than me, Jack. Being a 56 Olympian, she was a way better athlete.
That's awesome. Do you have any events coming up this season? Are you going to take the season off, or how does it work during the season?
You know, we have a big event I want to say it's late January. It's called Suits and Sneakers Weekend. You've probably seen, and it's a Coaches versus Cancer fundraiser where all college coaches on that weekend, their games, they wear their suits, but instead of their dress shoes, we're in sneaks.
Oh, no
and
way.
Now we have the assistants and the trainers and everybody in them, and it's kind of an awareness day and awareness weekend for Coaches versus Cancer. Again, it's been the chosen charity of the National Association of Basketball Coaches, and so that's kind of been our thrust and our theme. That's the one thing we do during the year, but in the off season, we have a lot of things going.
That's awesome. We'll have to get it out to everybody on the football team. Help hopefully get you guys some extra awareness there. But
you know, and the good thing, Joe, is when he has that suit on, he'll have his Under Armour tennis shoes on.
You're throwing blows now behind
the camera. Yeah.
I caught him once.
You caught him.
I'm not going to say I'm wearing Under Armour shoes, obviously, right now. I'm not going to say what happened, but I didn't have a green pair of Under Armour shoes. Obviously, I've got a match. I had green shorts on, so I put on.
California guy.
Yeah, I got a match. I'm trying to do my best. And
I know one thing. You didn't violate the policy more than Connaughton.
No.
So you're all right. He used to catch Connaughton left and right.
I know. I actually texted. It was so funny. Pat was my first friend here on campus. So we roomed like next door to each other our first summer semester. And I texted Pat immediately as I'm running away. I said – I said, Jack got me.
He's legendary.
I know, and he asked if he took my shoes because he's still got Pat's shoes.
Oh, I think he's got a closet of stuff up there.
But, Mike, seriously, talk a little bit about that change in Under Armour as a partner for your program.
You know, Jack, it has been a very powerful partnership. I am so excited to be with them. First of all, our guys love the apparel and love the shoes and love the gear, and we're proud that Jaren Grant stayed in the Under Armour family and with the New York Knicks he's representing. But our guys have loved it. You know, I told Kevin Plank when I gave him his championship ring, he was out here for the Southern Cal football weekend. I said, all I know is I had my best run in Under Armour stuff, so I'm a believer, man. I'm a believer. You know, the other thing, too, is, you know, they're very involved with the grassroots and high school and AAU and summer basketball, and that's all been a positive, you know, for us. But they're always thinking about ways to help us. They're throwing new ideas at us. Some of them are a little wacky, but that's okay. But the bottom line is our guys really like the stuff. It looks good. It looks classy. I had a number of questions at ACC Media Day last week. Hey, are you guys going to wear the green and gold uniforms? We love those. I said, yeah, we got those back again. So it's been a great partnership.
I thought one of the best things that you know, Under Armour did was, you know, as soon as we made the switch to Under Armour, they sent out a whole team of shoe experts to our football team, and they fitted all of our feet. That doesn't sound right, but they fit all our feet, you know, to see what fit best on us. And I think that's made a huge difference, and especially the big guys. So for your players being, you know, some of them 6'9", 6'10", it's got to be a huge difference.
I've seen more styles of shoes on guys in the last year, you know, choices, things they want to wear. It's amazing. And you're right about their customer service is unbelievable. I mean, they're here regularly. They're checking in with my basketball ops, Harold Swanigan, what do you need? Anything there? They're really good. So it's been great. It's come at a good time. And again, their grassroots involvement has also been a very helpful thing to our recruiting.
Mike, you have always had a great relationship with the student body here at Notre Dame. You're known for visiting dorms unannounced and joining people there. This year we've made a change. We're opening up the student seating on a no-cost basis because we want to create the best environment we can. Your thoughts about that?
Well, I thank you for that. I mean, I know, you know, you and I talked about it way back, but I think that's great to move forward on it, Jack, and I appreciate that. And every time I've been on campus this fall since we made the announcement, I've had a number of students come up and say, man, that's great, Coach. Thanks. I appreciate it. I love the idea. You know, when I was at Duke as an assistant, kids got in on their student IDs, right. And I think that helped. I heard for our first game, we allotted maybe 1,000, and we've had, or the first couple games, we've allotted 1,000 a night, and we've got like 1,600 to 1,800 requests. So I'm excited about this because there's no question when our student body is in that end zone, our place is as tough to play as any place. Now, it helps when the football team's in the first two rows
and
the opposing team and coach looks over. When Kentucky came here and Calipari kept saying the whole time, he said, I kept looking over there and the whole defensive line was on. The guys are a little scared. So, keep doing that.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's me that's doing
it's
the intimidating.
Not. It's not.
To be honest, like, I'm not the most intimidating gentleman.
Some of those DNs got up and started yelling at the other team, and the guys were like, oh, how we get out of here? Is
I was
there security?
Say, we brought, you know, Lewis Nix and Stephon Tuitt a couple of times. And those are some ginormous individuals.
There's a great picture in my office, you know, of a court storming after the 5 overtime. Time
yes,
Louisville game, and your whole defensive line's out there with our guys. It's one of the great pictures ever.
Oh my gosh, we had a blast! And you know, going back to, you know, being involved with the students, because the students really do love you. You know, one of my favorite stories was a friend of mine that graduated this last year, just a regular student, not an athlete. I guess sent you an email and asked if you might want to play horse with him at one point. And you actually got back
got
to
him here.
Yeah,
we
and,
did.
And you actually played horse with him, and that's, I thought that was a fun story that I wanted to share.
No, I think that's so neat. It's so important. I was in Duncan Hall the other night. I spoke to the band the other night, too. They let me play the drums a little bit in front of them in the stadium. But, no, that's really a key. And again, when our student section is rocking in that end zone, I know it's like our sixth man. When I email them and talk to them, I refer to them, and I mean it. They're our sixth man. They give us energy, and our guys are so excited to play when that end zone's rocking.
You know, Mike, we sort of touched on them just briefly, but before we run out of time here, you know, there's a great familiarity with the guys who will be the ones we rely on most this year. We got to know them pretty well last year. Let's talk about the three new additions and sort of give us a profile of each.
Well, the one thing about our three freshmen is you got two from New York and one from Los Angeles. They've played high-level basketball, and they've played great competition their whole lives. So they came in here ready to compete, and they bring it every day, which is why the blue team is hard to deal with for the white team. Matt Ryan is just a big-time shooter. He's got a little bit of that Kyle Korver, you know, shoots over the top of you, deep range. He's got good size, just wants to be a player. But the stroke and how he stretches the floor, we've had a lot of great shooters here. He will be there with any of them at the end of the day. Rex Pfluger from
Modern Day High School.
You know, the one thing about Rex, again, Modern Day High School plays a high level of basketball, as they do football, well-coached, can really guard, athletic as heck, guards you, and lately has gotten better with the ball and is shooting it pretty good. But there's as we say as a staff, and you say it in football too, he's got a great motor. I mean, he's there every day, and his athletic ability, I'm excited about his future. Elijah Burns, a little banged up because he made one of the great hustle plays I've ever seen. He stretched out for a loose ball, dove on it at half court. Someone came down, and his head bounced off the court. We lost a week with him, but he knows he's 6'7", 6'8". He's 235. I'm afraid Coach Kelly may try and grab him as a D end or a tight end because he's got the look. But feel for the game. Big guy, good passer. I've never had a freshman be so vocal and verbal and say the right things. Really intelligent. I'm excited about their future. They're really – they get it. They compete. And all of them, I think, this year will rotate through and get an opportunity.
Well, Mike, we're excited about the future, too. This is this program is in such great shape, and it's going to be an exciting year. And we thank you for all you do, not only to build a great basketball program, but for the university and the community. So thanks for being with us.
Irish fans, make sure you download the official WatchND mobile app, available on iOS and Android devices. The WatchND mobile app is the best way to experience great Fighting Irish digital media, video, and audio content right on your tablet or smartphone. You'll get full access to our entire video on-demand library, live game and event broadcasts, live shows and press conferences, live game stats, and more. And best of all, it's free. Search for WatchND in the iTunes Store or Android Play to download the WatchND mobile app today.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Notre Dame football is on 89 WLS.
It's been a great show, and it's left us with 25 seconds to wrap up this week's Jack Swarbrick Show.
That's what great guests do for you. Too little time, but the one achievement of the week I want to mention, Molly Seidel, former guest of ours on the show, winning the ACC cross-country championship with Anna Rohr, the freshman, finishing second. Great, great performance for the Irish.
Absolutely fantastic.
And now it's on to Pittsburgh. Good luck, Mr. Schmidt.
Thank you very much, Jack.
This has been the Jack Swarbrick Show, brought to you by Team Notre Dame partners Sprint, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Listen this time every week for everything Notre Dame athletics. The Jack Swarbrick Show on your home for Notre Dame football. 89 WLS. LS.